In nomine cinema et TV, Spiritus streaming. Amen. Hello, faithful, and welcome back to the Hollywood Confessional. This is your favorite podcast priest, J.R. Zamorathal.
And your real favorite podcast priest, Megan Dane.
Come on.
Hey, you threw it down. I'm just picking it up. For those of you who are joining us for the first time, this is the podcast where entertainment industry professionals unburden their souls 100% anonymously. Screenwriters, actors, directors, crew people, support staffers. Although we don't have any executives.
Yeah, we need some of those. Hit us up with your horror stories, execs, at FessUpHollywood. You probably have a ton of them. It could be a whole spinoff series.
Yeah, the executive confessional. That has a nice ring. Although it reminds me a little bit of the word execution. So that, I don't know, sounds a little dark for us. Anyway, today is our first confession from a producer.
And although the Harvey Weinsteins of the world have a lot to confess, in this case, we're talking indie producer, an aspiring filmmaker who made the questionable decision to write, produce, and direct their own first short film.
I mean, at least they didn't star in it. But to your point about this not being a Harvey Weinstein-style confession, our whole idea of a confession booth was sort of tongue-in-cheek at first. We weren't really looking for people to confess their own sins. We wanted to create a safe space where entertainment industry workers could talk about other people's sins, like harassment or toxic work environments, without fear of retribution.
Right. The whole you'll never work in this town again thing.
Which is a very real fear. Like, I can't even count the number of times that we've been at happy hour or something like that with somebody who's telling us a truly horrific behind the scenes story. And even knowing that the podcast is anonymous, they still feel like they can't come forward because power players in this town have that much sway over people who are trying to work their way in that we're all just so terrified all the time that we're going to be losing our jobs or losing our opportunities. And I fucking hate that.
You're right. That's incredibly frustrating. But those aren't the only crazy stories that we've heard on the show. You know, we've expanded our definition to include mistakes that people have made themselves. You know, sometimes on your journey toward a career in entertainment, you do things you kind of wish you hadn't.
Like, for example, trying to produce a movie with no money, hypothetically.
Oh, hypothetically.
Let's see if we can cleanse our confessor's soul of that today. Time to step into the booth and hear today's confession, the dangers of do-it-yourselfing.
After you.
Forgive me, Father, for I attempted to make my own content.
No.
Oh, God, it happens to the best of us. Tell us how it all began.
Oh, I gasped too hard.
I used to work in advertising. The money was good, but it was very stressful and I got burnt out. My husband was about to get transferred, so we made a deal that we could go somewhere I could create. I loved screenwriting and directing, so my husband pursued a position in LA so that I could come closer to Hollywood and find my tribe.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah. He's a good catch. So I started out in getting into screenwriting, which, as we all know, is a very long journey. And because I was coming from a job where everything happens really fast, you have to think I was getting impatient. Before long, I was like, okay, I need to see my voice on the screen. But I was a little bit scared to get started. I was in LA. I had just started getting to know people. You know how it goes. You need time. You start going to these stupid networking events and you meet people, they tell you, oh yeah, I'm a producer. And then the only thing they've ever produced is a cup of coffee in the morning of questionable quality. I come from a very privileged world. Like, we were shooting on an Arri Alexa before Hollywood. So it's a very spoiled world, a very opulent world where you could say, I would like people surfing. And 2 minutes later, I would like clouds and rain, and you make it happen. I used to hire directors. I had like 6 people under me and they had about 6 people under them. So, you know, that's a lot of responsibility. Then I come to a city where everybody says there's something that they're not and nobody knew me. Nobody knew what I was worth, what I'd experienced. So I had no currency. I was a nobody. My level of work ethic first and dignity second tells me I cannot wear a title if I have not earned it. But I started to realize that the things I wanted to do cost a lot of money. like a lot of money.
So what did you do?
You know, I got very frustrated for a long time, but then I started working with a writing partner. And in 2020, we started planning to make an ultra low budget short film. I was so excited. I'd been invited to the awards, and this woman was sitting next to me, an amazing actress, and she was so perfect for the lead role, and we were getting wasted together.
Oh yeah, the way all great collaborations begin.
I'm pretty sure that's how this one began.
I hear that. Well, I pitched her the project while we were drunk. She loved it. Thank goodness she remembered it when she was sober. We arranged a meeting. We went there. Everything was amazing. And then 2 days later, there was a lockdown.
Oh, shit.
And I got diagnosed with disease.
Oh, my God. That's terrible. I'm so sorry.
Well, eventually I recovered. But in the meantime, my writing partner's parents passed away. He was from, so he had to pack up and leave the country and go back home. That was very shocking for both of us. So there was this gap. But then in around July of 2021, I told my husband, listen up. It's been a hell of a year and a half, and I have nothing to show for my work. And I'm itching to do something. And he was like, why don't you try and figure out how much we can finance and see if you can make your short film? So I started going back into production mode, trying to break down the scripts again, trying different tasks. At that time, one of my screenwriter friends was having the same thought.
I think we all were.
Yeah, that's actually one of the main reasons for this podcast as well. We were just like, God, I'm so sick and tired of waiting for something to happen. Let's do it ourselves.
We gotta make something.
Exactly. So my friend was like, why don't we just call people and say, hey, if you want to make shorts, let's form a collective and do it.
Ah, the Wu-Tang method.
Exactly. Well, and I thought it was very ambitious. But one of the exercises I had promised my therapist is that I would let go. Because I was forced into a person who had control over stuff, I was enjoying that control maybe just a little too much. I wasn't very comfortable saying, whoever wants to come and help, let's do it. But I wanted to feel better about myself and kind of deal with the world. So I said, okay, let's do it.
Oh, that's really awesome. Good on you for taking the leap.
So we formed the collective. The group was around 63 people. 57 wanted to be directors. 62 wanted to be writers. Consciously, only 3 people wanted to be producers.
Uh-oh, pretty sure I know what that meant for you.
Exactly. At the first meeting, only about 25 people showed up. And they said, if anyone wants to shoot something, they should produce it themselves. I was like, no, it's my turn to be creative. No, I don't want to produce this. But with all this production experience, I'm like, if I don't move the needle, nothing will move. Because who's going to do it? Who's going to do anything for me if I don't do it myself? I had written the short at one location so we'd be able to shoot it. It was set in a... I started sending emails to the around town. Most of them didn't reply. One was like, do you know how many aspiring directors we have here? If everybody started producing, we would never work in the office.
Fair point.
In the end, I was like, okay, if we have to rent something, it was going to cost around $2,000, only for the location.
Do you mind if we ask what your budget was?
Right. My budget was zero. Technically, it was an ultra low budget short film. I had asked my husband for $1,500 to $2,000 so I could cover food and gas for people. A lot of people would work for free from the collective, but I didn't know what else I would need. So $2,000 for just the location just wasn't an option. So I sent a desperate email to my scriptwriting school. I was like, I don't know if you still have the space where we used to do classes, because this was still in the pandemic and classes were now on Zoom. And the woman who runs the class was like,
actually, I do still have the space. It's been sitting there for a year and a half now, empty. You can have it.
What? That's amazing.
Did she charge you anything or just let you have it?
Zero. She had, I know, zero. She had this lease. She was so bitter that she could not use it because people did not want to go back to in-person classes. But it was perfect for our film. So I'm like, amazing, we got this.
Yeah, you got your location, you got your crew, you got your cast. I mean, what happened with the actress? Did she come back?
Right, no.
Oh.
The actress was gone. She was already on a TV show, so that was not an option. Luckily, in the collective, we also had a lot of actors. So I found an actress. Yay! She had a lot of experience, but she had anxiety, which don't we all? She had anxiety over one particular thing, though. Can you guess what it was?
Acting?
Chasing a dream her whole life, only to die penniless, bitter, and alone?
No. She had anxiety about producing.
Oh, come on.
That is not a thing. It can't be a real thing.
So I was like, okay, you don't have to produce. Everything's fine. It's going to be fine. And then I start putting the rest of my cast together. There were people in the collective who were writer actors, so on and so forth. So I put everyone in place. Amazing. And then I heard about a new SAG agreement.
For those of you playing along at home, SAG-AFTRA is the actors' union. They basically have contracts with producers at all budget levels stipulating how much they have to get paid for various kinds of work and so on. It's pretty technical stuff, just your general union.
Right. So I asked the lead actress, since it's your guild, would you mind telling me what the difference between the micro budget and the short film budget is? She sends me a 2-page email reminding me how she doesn't want to produce.
Oh no.
2 pages?
I hope that didn't give her a panic attack. I'm sorry, I'm an asshole.
She definitely doesn't have anxiety about writing.
True there. At this point, I got cold feet. I was like, this is a project that's completely underfunded. I don't want to have more discussions. So I was like, it's okay. Don't worry about it. I'm going to find somebody else, which she was fine with, because there was another catch to all this. We were shooting just before Christmas. So it was easy for me to tell the actress, no, stay with your family. Happy holidays. We recast the role. We found some amazing ADs. Then I had an issue with the DP. And the issue is the following. When I started the production with my writing partner, he had a pact with a cinematographer that he knew. We had said, let's produce a couple of pieces, work together on our reel together as directors and DP. Then during COVID, she had to go back to her home country and she couldn't get back into the US because of the travel ban. She had worked a lot on the film. Lookbook, the treatment, she knew what we needed. And she didn't need money because we had the pact. But there's no way they're letting a person from in because the pandemic in that country was at its strongest at that point. So she was just like,
we're locked down. I'll see if I can find you somebody as a favor to me.
I'm like, amazing. I'm seeing this networking thing in action. So she contacted a couple of people and she got a response from one of her best friends and mentors from We go into the call and it's like,
yeah. Amazing. I know she's worked so much on this, and I really wanted to get credit.
Because also that will help her with her visa, if she does decide to come back. I'm like, absolutely. It was a perfect scenario for me. He's like,
listen, I don't want any money. I will be the eyes and hands of on set. We'll wire her in on Zoom, and we'll work on it together.
It seemed like the perfect solution. Dangerous, but perfect. And I went with it. We had a couple of calls, and we started getting closer to the day. One of the actors dropped 10 days before the shoot because they were not feeling it.
I've heard that from actors so many times.
I feel like we're going to need some context for that comment.
Professionally, on my first short.
They were like, yeah, I'm feeling depressed. I'm down. I can't pull it off. And I'm like, okay, so we move on. A friend who calls herself my assistant, just to be clear, I adore her, but I hate calling people my assistant, so that's just the story there. She's like, don't worry, I got this. A friend of mine works at an actor's school. We're gonna go and just ask them. I'm like, what are we gonna ask? Come by here, we have no money for you. They're all SAG actors. And she's like, don't worry, we'll figure it out. So I was like, okay, whatever you do, just be crystal clear that this is a collective. If they don't feel like it, don't come. What I didn't know is that the contact she has was at the actor school, which is a huge thing over here. So in like half an hour after the posting went out, we had this huge stack of resumes. People were desperate to work at that point. So we're having the auditions. Great calls, great people. Then we have a guy who's British and basically scratches during the whole session. He's like coked up like no tomorrow.
Yikes.
You know, I come from advertising. I know what Coke does, and he's trying to fake his American accent for whatever reason.
Does Coke make you fake an American accent?
Apparently for this guy, yes. That was a very interesting meeting. Even with my experience, that was a first. But we kept going, and we finally got our cast.
again.
Woohoo! Victory!
Right? But no.
Oh, no.
By now it's December. I'm in Vegas because my husband had a convention. I took my laptop. I was like, I'm leaving town. I'm going to lock myself in Vegas and get my head clear before the shoot. 3 o'clock at night, I had the DP from texting me in a panicked way that the main DP is dropping. And I'm like, why do you think that? Because I can't get a hold of him for 10 days now.
Oh, God.
So this is Wednesday. We're shooting on Monday. We start a text chain, and the DP comes back with a great LA excuse.
Oh my God, I didn't realize the shoot was gonna be on a Monday. Yeah, I'm working on Monday.
So now I have to find another DP. I'm calling my friend and writing partner in. I'm like, open your Rolodex on your iPhone and call every single person we know who has a camera. So basically what happened was, years ago, a guy from came here and couldn't get anything done unless he had a US number. And nobody would give him a US number for whatever reason. So my writing partner put him onto his family plan, which is very, very nice of him. And after that, everything was amazing for this guy. So he owed my writing partner a lot. So my writing partner said to me, okay, this guy has like $1,000 daily fee. So I don't know, but I'll try. So I get on a call that night and he says, I promised myself I would never do another favor for anybody, but I owe so much. He told me that they were like brothers. And then I told him how desperate I am. What's going on? And he said, you're very lucky because I'm free those 2 days. So the guy came and his fee was very, very low, like only gas money. And he brought his own equipment and his own AC.
Oh my God, I love that. Merry Christmas.
And he was so wonderful. If you ever need a good DP, you guys, let me tell you.
Yeah, you think he'll do us a favor? I've got a family plan.
So we're like, yes, we're doing it. Amazing. And we were less than 1 week before the shoot. We're doing rehearsals. I love my cast. They're great together. Finally, we got to day one of the shoot.
Yay.
It was a hard day.
Boo.
First of all, I had missed being on set. I'd missed the energy of people coming together. And now it was my first step into directing. So that was an amazing feeling. But that morning, the female lead said that she had COVID. We bought one of the very first self-tests. We had her and her husband in the bathroom waiting for the test results. It was negative. I went out to the cast and crew. I said, what do you want to do? It was negative. I can't guarantee that it won't come up tomorrow, but we're already exposed. Everybody was very appreciative of the honesty, and we just continued. But we lost 1.5 hours because of that. Then around 4 o'clock, we're shooting. Everything looks great, great energy, and suddenly the sound guy is like,
Guys, I'm hearing sirens.
They're not passing. They're right outside. The assistant comes out. She says that there are flames coming from a store right across the street.
Holy shit.
A tire store caught fire. It was burning right across the street. By that point, I was so tired. I'd gone through all of this for such a long time, and everybody's asking, what do we do? And I said, if that fire comes to our building, just F everything and just go. But thank goodness it did not. And we continued. But we lost 1 hour. Second day was great. Went fast. Everybody knew how we rolled. So it was easier. I made a 2-hour cut. So we were even going to leave early that day. Then as we're getting ready to wrap, I hear a window breaking.
Oh no!
The crew was doing cables and a flag went through a window. At this point, I was just like, this is never gonna stop, is it? So I was just like, fuck it. Mazel tov.
What a wild production. By the end of it, did you get out of making this short what you set out to get?
Yes, I did. I wanted to do something that was my own voice, from my experience. We got into festivals, so that's something that delights me, and that's something that gives me inspiration to go on for the next one. And I called myself a director after that.
Oh, that's awesome. I love that.
If somebody has just moved to LA and they are thinking about making their own film, would you encourage them, or would you say, take another beat and think about it?
Depends on the film.
Nicely done.
In general, I say do it. Be realistic. And remember, it's not about the money. It comes down to money in the end, but money translates into emotional health. So make sure you can do it and stay healthy.
That's a great lesson. Thank you so much for sharing it with us.
Go create some more of your content in peace.
Thank you. If I can survive it, I will.
Mazel tov. In honor of Passover, that's my new response to all catastrophic fuck-ups.
I will say, we talked about mistakes. Some are big, some are huge. In fact, we've got a confession coming up about safe sets.
I see what you did there.
Yeah, safe sets. You like that? That's a crew member's stories about sets where mistakes could lead to serious injury or death. And of course, we all know the terrible story of what happened on the set of Rust. Horrifying tragedy. But those kinds of mistakes, thankfully, are the exception.
Right. The majority of mistakes made in production just come from the ordinary day-to-day insanity of trying to make a collaborative, creative project with hundreds of people.
Or even like 5 or 6 people. Like, writing a novel is hard, and that's just you against the page. Speaking of mistakes, me trying to be a novelist early in my career, not good.
Ooh, seriously? Did you ever finish a novel?
Of course. I never give up on anything.
I would say I'd like to read it, but...
No, you would not.
I absolutely would not. But I would like to hear about one of your industry mistakes.
Oh, man. There's been so many.
Time to share. Confess.
All right. Here's a stupid one that comes to mind after hearing today's episode. So, the confessor talked a lot about authenticity, right? About how some people who want to be producers, for instance, just say, I'm a producer, and that makes it happen. So, like our confessor, this is not like our confessor, because our confessor had a lot of integrity. And so that's why they wouldn't do that. But for me, I just never had that kind of confidence.
You know, I don't think it's just about confidence. You know, there's a very real bias that gives straight white men the benefit of the doubt, while women and minorities have to keep proving over and over again how extraordinary we are.
Yeah, true. But in the story I'm about to tell, I was not extraordinary. I was very, very ordinary, probably like sub-average, just a normal small town girl awkwardly trying to learn how to make movies. And like today's confessor, I was feeling kind of impatient with my career progress, and I decided that I was going to write and direct my own short film.
Where were you living at the time?
I was here in LA, but I had just arrived.
Interesting. You might hear an anonymous confession about this later in the season.
I tried so very hard to do everything right. Like, remember what I said a couple episodes ago about like acing a Hollywood test? So I bought a book, like How to Direct.
Wow.
And I studied the book and I got all the good gear and I got crafty and I paid everybody.
Wait, what's the film about?
We're not talking about that.
I would like to talk about that.
Sorry, that's not part of the confession. Look, it was set in an apartment, okay? That's all you need to know. So it was very close quarters. And you never know how big apartment sets are that you see on screen until you try to shoot something in an actual real life apartment.
Oh, believe me, I know. Yeah. I also have a secret short film.
Wait, in addition to your porn?
Let's go back to what you were talking about.
So it's like really packed in there between the gear and the crew and the cameras, and we could barely even move. And one of the actors starts getting claustrophobic.
Oh no.
Yeah. He's like having a total panic attack, and I go into problem solving mode. I'm like, okay, clear everything out. Like, get everybody out of here that doesn't need to be here. So I clear the set and I get the crew out that doesn't need to be there. And I pack everything away in another room, including myself. So I'm standing there like huddled way back in the corner, packed with all the gear, and I'm feeling kind of pleased with myself. Like, I solved a problem. I'm no longer in the way. And then there's this long silence. And finally I hear the DP like, we're waiting for action.
You forgot you were the director?
I completely forgot. It was like, I was so used to being the lowest person on the totem pole that my first impulse was to like remove myself from where the movie was actually being made, along with all the rest of the clutter.
Oh no, you're not clutter.
Oh, thanks. Thanks, podcast priest.
This is a tough industry. We all fall on our face sometimes as we're trying to break in and stay in. And hopefully you got some good lessons out of that short film incident. You know, it's really important to learn that you belong in the room where it happens.
Aw, thank you. I feel so much better now. I feel absolved. Speaking of belonging, our shout out today goes to Women in Film, an LA-based nonprofit that helps women in the screen industries find that feeling by advocating for and advancing their careers. There are a ton of filmmaking organizations out there. I've been a member of several, and I can say from experience that Women in Film is the best I know of at delivering on their promise. They offer incredible resources. They have like free screenings and professional development seminars and mentorship programs.
Wow, this sounds great. Can I join Women in Film?
Actually, yes. All genders are welcome as long as you support their mission. And at one time, I don't know if this is still the case, but you used to have to be recommended by a current member. So, lovely Hollywood faithful, if that is still the case and you want to be a member of Women in Film, hit me up at FessUpHollywood and I will recommend you.
That's awesome. Check out Women in Film at WIF.org. Thank them for making Hollywood a happier place. And thanks to you for listening. Send us shoutouts or your deep dark secrets at FessUpHollywood.
And we will be back in 2 weeks with more Hollywood secrets anonymously told.
Talk to you then, faithful. The Hollywood Confessional is produced by Megan Dane and J.R. Zamorathal. Our cast for this episode: Amy Baclini, Claire Gruber, Austin Windham. Special effects provided by Zapsplat and Pixabay. Hollywood Confessional is a Ninth Way Media production. Follow us on socials at FessUpHollywood.